Good morning. Please, if you have your Bibles there, kindly open to Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you are slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful Father, we commit this time to you. We pray that the Holy Spirit, who wrote the word, who inspired the word, will speak to each and every one of us. We pray that this place will be filled with his presence. We pray, Lord, that each one of us will be challenged, and also that you give us the willingness to put into action whatever you lay on our hearts. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. During my secondary school days in Nigeria, in the early 60s, our British teachers introduced to our school what appeared to me at the time a very strange game. The shape of the ball looked very unfamiliar to me, not the round football that we were used to. I also thought the game was rather rough. And I preferred to watch people play it rather than participate in it. That game, of course, was rugby. These days, sometimes I watch a game of rugby on television, especially when England plays against some big teams like the All Blacks of New Zealand, Springboks of South Africa, or the Wallabies of Australia. Now, an event happened very recently, and unfortunately, I missed the game. I missed it, but it was very significant. Our great team won a big match, and I really mean it. The Red and Whites beat the All Blacks. That was something. 19-7. Despite all the intimidating haka dance by the All Blacks, the Red and Whites of England were victorious. And I really hope that they will go all the way to beat either the Springboks or the Welsh team. I don't know who won, but I hope England will win in the end. Well, but I understand there is another rugby team selected from the national teams of England, Scotland, Wales, and Ireland. And they go on tour every 4 years. The team is called the British and Irish Lions, and they can roar. Today's message has something to do with lions, I can assure you. And I pray that God Himself will use whatever I'm going to say to challenge us to a closer walk with Him. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, there is a reference to someone described as the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the root of David. Who can this be? Based on the blessings pronounced by Jacob on his son Judah in Genesis 49, verses 8 to 12, and the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10, we can confidently say that those titles are messianic titles for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This message is titled, "The Lion of Judah is for us." The Lion of Judah is for us. And it's based on Revelation 5. And I would like to focus on just three key points. The first point is, do not weep. The second one is, the Lion of Judah has prevailed. And thirdly, the Lamb is truly worthy. Let's look at the first one, do not weep. Revelation 5:1 introduces us to a scroll which had writings on both sides and sealed with seven seals. In Revelation 5:4, we read that the Apostle John wept a lot because nobody was found worthy to open the scroll or look inside it. John probably assumed that the scroll contained highly important information because it had writings on both sides, it was sealed with seven seals, and it was in the right hand of God the Father. In Revelation 4:1, John was given a special invitation. This is what the invitation said. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Such a wonderful invitation probably filled John with great expectation that his scroll contained important information about God's future plan for the human race. Therefore, the realization that nobody could open the scroll filled him with disappointment, sadness, and deep frustration, and he wept a lot. But we praise God that that was not the end of the story. The tears of Revelation 5:4 were quickly followed by encouraging words in Revelation 5:5. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose the seven seals." Those words must have lifted John from the valley of despair to great heights of joy. Of course, saying to John, "Do not weep," did not mean that it was wrong for him to weep, but it was a way of saying, "Stop weeping because help is on the way." Weeping is a natural expression of our frustrations, stresses, sorrows, and in some cases, it demonstrates sympathy for others. In fact, you remember the shortest Bible verse in most translations, John chapter 11, 35. Jesus wept. And in Romans 12, 15, Paul instructed the Christians, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." When our situation leads us to weep, we should let tears flow freely. We should not be embarrassed to weep. And the men in this congregation, please remember what I said. Let tears flow freely. It is okay to weep. It is okay to let others know that it is not okay with you. There is nothing wrong with that. But in such a situation, it is also very nice when you have someone there to encourage you, putting their arms around you and telling you that things will be all right. Some of us, including myself, have experienced this demonstration of love from relatives, from friends, from brothers and sisters in Christ, especially following the recent passing away of our loved ones. In my own case, I lost my sister suddenly on September 23, and we remember that our two sisters, Janet and also the other sister, Paula, both of them also passed away recently. So there has been a lot of weeping by members of this church, but also I know that arms have been put around many people to simply say, "Don't worry, it will be all right. Help is on the way. Christ is there for you." I value that kind of encouragement. But while the encouragement we get from human sources is very important, I can say undoubtedly that the deepest comfort and encouragement we can receive is from above. Therefore, I ask you, have you been going through stressful, painful, and discouraging situations? Have you been weeping because of what seems to be a hopeless situation? If so, I believe that Jesus Christ the lion of the tribe of Judah, is saying to you today, I hear you. Do not weep, because help is on the way. It is my prayer that he will put his arms around you today and tell you deep in your heart that all will be well. All will be well in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It is my prayer as well that we will experience the joy that is mentioned in Psalm 30, verses 4 to 5. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. May God turn your weeping into joy. May God turn your sorrows into joy. May Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, wrap his arms around you today and say to you and whisper to your hearts, all is well. All is well. Yes, all is well. The second important point I want to speak on is the Lion of Judah has prevailed. The lion is regarded as a very strong animal and is called the king of the jungle. Therefore, the description of Jesus the Messiah as the Lion of the tribe of Judah is an indication of his great power and authority. It is worth noting that it was stated in Revelation 5:5 that the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. He has conquered. He has triumphed. Over the past 50 years, Africa has produced some great football teams, such as the Pharaohs of Egypt, the Black Stars of Ghana, the Super Eagles of Nigeria, and the Indomitable Lions of Cameroon. Who can forget the exploits of Roger Miller and the rest of the Indomitable Lions during the World Cup in Italy in 1990? They did Africa proud by defeating the defending champions, Argentina, in the opening game of the tournament, and they went on to reach the quarterfinals of that competition. Apart from admiring their soccer skills, I find their nickname, Indomitable Lions, quite interesting. Indomitable is not an everyday word that we use in our conversations. How many times over the past month have you used the word indomitable in speaking to somebody? Probably none. According to the Collins Dictionary, indomitable means too strong to be defeated or discouraged. The Indomitable Lions ruled the African football for many years, but the reality is that they could never achieve a 100% winning record. We praise God that in the spiritual realm, we have only one true indomitable lion. And that indomitable lion is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who has a 100% winning record. Are you on his side? Are you on his side? With him on your side, with him on my side, we have access to divine power and help. Why not come to his side today? Now, furthermore, we read from 1 Peter 5:8 the following warning about a roaring lion. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We need to take this warning seriously, so that we do not give the devil and his agents any room to cause havoc in our lives. The encouraging thing is that those who belong to the Lion of the tribe of Judah need not fear this devil who is like a lion, because the Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed over the devil and his agents. He put them to shame on the cross and at his resurrection. In this regard, let us take the encouragement from Colossians 2:15. Paul wrote, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing them in it. He triumphed over them in it. And the words of the song we sang, "The battle belongs to the Lord," also, I think, are very encouraging. One of the verses have the following lyrics: when your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend. Your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. The devil is very busy 24/7, pressing very hard, especially pressing hard on those who are true followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you need not fear, because the Lion of the tribe of Judah has conquered the devil and his agents. So we can face him and his agents confidently every day, not in our power, but in the power of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The devil has many ways of tricking us. He knows when to pounce on us. When we are in the deep valley, when things are hard in our lives, the devil might ask you, do you think Jesus still loves you? The devil might also ask, if Jesus still loves you, why does he allow you to have these problems? Please do not fall for the lies of the evil one. At such times, remember that Jesus called the devil a liar and the father of lies in John 8:44. Therefore, don't accept his lies, but accept the truth of Jesus. And that truth is that Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, has conquered the devil, has conquered him once and for all. And therefore, we can face every day confidently, despite the fact that the devil is pressing hard on us. We know we have the power to resist him, because Jesus is on our side. The third and last important point I want to speak on is The Lamb is truly worthy. The Lamb is truly worthy. The amazing thing is that in Revelation 5, Jesus, who was described as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, was also described as the sacrificial lamb whose blood was shed to wash away our sins. This is in line with what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 5:7, that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. The lamb is a symbol of weakness, in contrast to the lion being a symbol of strength and power. And these two are found in Jesus Christ. For Jesus to be the lion and the lamb required great humility. He had to willingly and humbly lay down his awesome power, take on human flesh, and suffer and die for our sins on the cross at Calvary. According to Philippians 2, it was because Jesus demonstrated such great humility that God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, and that at that name every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see this in Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11. Jesus the Lion became Jesus the Sacrificial Lamb because of the incredible love that God has for you and I. This is captured very well in John 3:16, a verse that we learned when we were small children, but a verse that carries an eternal message, a powerful message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you accepted by faith this great love of God that is shown us through Jesus? If not, I challenge you to do so today. Furthermore, let us emulate the humility of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us sometimes realize that we might have to give up or lay aside our privileges and our authorities when necessary for the sake of conveying the love of Jesus to others. May God help us to follow the example of Jesus in all areas of our lives. I believe that one of the things we will enjoy doing in heaven is singing with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and also with angels. I also believe that in our heavenly bodies, our voices will be infinitely superior to what we have here below. Perhaps those of us who are making joyful noises to the Lord here below will be able to sing as well as the angels when we get up there. In Revelation 5, 9 to 12, we find two songs in which Jesus the Lamb was described as worthy. Worthy to open the scroll and to receive power, wealth, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and praise. The four living creatures, the 24 elders, and the incredible number of angels sang the songs in praise and worship of Jesus the Lamb, confessing that he was worthy of all those attributes because he died for us on the cross. The heavenly beings recognized the worthiness of Jesus and glorified him for that. But how about you and I today? To what extent do we really appreciate what Jesus has done for us on the cross? You know, after some time, we don't even think about it. After some years as a Christian, You just take it for granted. You don't think of the enormity of it. Think of all the trouble Jesus went through, coming from the majesty on high, taking up human flesh, taking all that pain in his body on the cross, dying for us. We don't think of how important or how big a change that was for Jesus Christ. We don't appreciate him enough. So I ask you, are we singing the praise of Jesus in the way we live our lives? Can others really see that we truly appreciate this Jesus? The heavenly bodies appreciated him, but do you appreciate Jesus? According to Revelation 5:10, when you look at it in detail, we are saved to serve God. One way we can show our appreciation of Jesus Christ is by serving him. Has he been challenging you to use your talents to serve him in this church? If so, please do not delay. Say yes to him today. May God help us to be more devoted and obedient to him in all areas of our lives. So in conclusion, we have considered the topic, the Lion of Judah is for us. And we focused on three key points. Do not weep. The Lion of Judah has prevailed. The Lamb is truly worthy. Whatever difficulties we are going through today, remember to take courage in Jesus Christ. He cares for you, and he wants to put his arms around you. He wants to tell you today that all will be well. All will be well. Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, has triumphed over the devil. So we need not be afraid. However, we need to play our own part. Be vigilant. Be spiritually awake. And be obedient to our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but out of love for us, he became the spotless lamb that was sacrificed for us on the cross. Have you accepted him as your Savior and Lord? And Lord, if not, today is another opportunity. And lastly, Jesus is truly worthy to receive all the thanks, praise, honor, and glory that we can offer him. I would like to end with a very small, very short story I read from our Daily Bread Bible reading notes, dated 1st of September 1995. It was written by someone called Hayden Robinson. This is what he wrote. Spontaneous celebrations of freedom erupted all across Eastern Europe in the late 1980s as atheistic and tyrannical governments suddenly disintegrated. One of the more unusual displays of liberty took place in Czechoslovakia on November 27, 1989. Although church bells had not been heard in that freedom-starved nation for 45 years, at noon that day, every church bell in the country began to ring. The pigeons were as startled as the people. A sign placed on the front lawn of a church in Prague summed up the joy of the moment. It simply read, "The Lamb wins. The Lamb wins." Yes, the Lamb of God always wins. It is a privilege for me to know this Lamb of God. Do you know him? May God interpret this message into our hearts. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Our dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus made for all of us on the cross at Calvary. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much as to sacrifice him on the cross. Thank you also, Lord, that he said on the cross, "It is finished." Everything required for our forgiveness was accomplished, and we thank you for that. Therefore, today, we can walk freely. We can truly say our burdens of sin have been removed and removed eternally. We thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, we pray as we go into the world, we pray that we will enjoy the support, the comfort, the strength, the power that comes from Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be witnesses for you. Help us to be salt of the earth and to be light of the world. Help us, Lord, to truly show that we appreciate what Jesus did for us on the cross. Strengthen us in our walk. Yes, the Lamb always wins. Help us to enjoy that victory that he has won for us. We ask all these things together with the forgiveness of our sins through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen. Thank you. God bless you.